Today is July 17th, and you are listening to the GPP Activism and Corporate Governance Newsletter. New study documents the dramatic rise and fall of DEI in public filings. One day, we're highlighting the benefits of diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI. And the next day, we are helping companies strip their public communications of language and acronyms such as DEI and ESG. A new study of nearly 2 million securities disclosures for over 15,000 publicly traded companies by professors Nolan Mack Carty of Princeton School of Public and International Affairs and Riley Steele of Columbia Law School details and documents the dramatic rise in DEI language in public filings beginning in the late teens and spiking in 2021. Then, as we know, the data show a precipitous collapse during the second Trump administration. While we knew it happened, the data and charts are nonetheless fascinating look at societal trends in the corporate world and the political economy. Among the factors the study points to, the ideological composition of corporate leadership, ownership by the big three asset managers associated with corporate DEI commitments, presidential directives, and federal government contractors, Me Too movement, Black Lives Matter, and other societal factors. Among the factors, the authors believe pressure from some large asset managers played an important role. Beginning in the late 2010s, the big three asset managers became increasingly vocal about corporate diversity. State Street launched its Fearless Girl campaign for gender diversity in 2017, famously commissioning a bronze statue of a defiant girl confronting the charging bull statue in New York's financial district. From 2018 through 2022, BlackRock CEO Larry Fink's annual letters to portfolio firm CEOs explicitly invoked DEI-related language and concepts. Then, of course, it all reversed. Overall, these results are consistent with institutional investor pressure driving the DEI explosion and then ceasing to matter or even driving down DEI commitments after the conservative backlash against these investors and the decreased appetite for ESG more broadly. The findings also align with evidence from finance that the big three's campaigns for boardroom gender diversity shifted real diversity outcomes. The study notes, the retreat was broad, suggesting the importance of larger political, legal, and social forces. Our results underscore the importance of corporate governance for the study of political economy. This week in Activism, Bloomberg, Elliott builds stake in software firm Triple C. As the car insurance software provider continues to explore a potential sale, the Activist Fund, through its buyout business, has built a large stake that led to Triple C's stock jumping 10%. The deal. SEC guidance forces activists to reveal SPV investors. In a move that could shake up activism, especially for smaller, lesser-known funds, the SEC has introduced guidance requiring activists who form SPVs to disclose the identities of their underlying clients' investors in 13Ds or proxy fight filings. Reuters notes that activists have pushed back on this because identifying anything about their business, including who is funding them, could embolden copycats and limit their ability to make money. Antares Advisors, 2026, Proxy Season Review. In a new report, Antares Advisors reviews a less predictable and more complex 2026 proxy season, noting that developments to both regulation and stewardship have reshaped how proxy votes are decided. The report also discusses how the ballot is no longer the battleground, because activists are appearing earlier in the cycle, illustrating how proactive, year-round shareholder engagement is a necessity for the issuers. On to M&A. Reuters, Stripe, Advent. Offered to buy PayPal for more than $53 billion. Months after initial speculation, Stripe made an offer to acquire PayPal Holdings Inc. for $60.50 per share. Stripe is joined by Boston-based Advent. The two would hold equal stakes of PayPal in what would become the world's largest e-commerce merchant processor if approved. CNBC, Paramount, WBD hit with lawsuit from 12 states, including California, to block merger. The highly contested deal faces a new challenge on its path to close and final approval as California AG Rob Bonta leads the antitrust charge against the merger. Meanwhile, Semaphore reports that Paramount CEO Larry Ellison may be weighing moving the company out of California once the deal is done. Sportico. Vinod Khosla to buy Seattle Seahawks for $9.60 billion. After beating out other high-profile bidders, The purchase from the prominent VC marks one of the largest sports team valuations in history for a control transaction. The tech billionaire will have to sell his existing minority stake in the San Francisco 49ers as a part of the deal. And in corporate governance, Semaphore AI will identify Big Law's rainmakers faster and weed out the rest. Joining Liz Hoffman on Semaphore's Compound Interest podcast, Rachel Profit, CEO of Cooley, says law firms must spot partnership talent earlier and prioritize business building and client relationships over technical execution as AI takes over routine legal work. SEC Chairman signals reassessment of Rule 14a-8 regime. SEC Chair Paul Atkins warned of tyranny of the minority in shareholder proposals, with one individual responsible for 41% of 2025 to 2026 proposals, and signaled the SEC will maintain its hands-off stance unless Rule 14a-8 is rewritten to stem expected increases in 2027. Financial Times. Why boards can no longer wait to pick their next CEO. Record CEO turnover is forcing boards to shift from reactive hiring to a constant evolution of their leadership bench, exemplified by JP Morgan's decade-long search to ensure they have groomed successors ready for departures happening tomorrow, in 2 years, or in five. Finally, in IPO news, The Wall Street Journal, Shane targets over $40 valuation after China nod for IPO. The $40 billion Hong Kong IPO could list as soon as the third quarter, a steep drop from its $66 billion valuation in 2023, after failed US and London listing attempts. Reuters also reports that Executive Chairman Donald Tang will step down as the IPO nears completion, with CEO Sky Hsu taking the chairman role. Bloomberg, DeepSeek is preparing for IPO filing as soon as this year. DeepSeek is lining up advisors and financials for a mainland listing that could set up a 2027 debut, while pursuing a new private round that would give the company a $71 billion value after its record $7 billion raise. For From Our Desk to Yours. Nestled down in Nolita, on the corner of Mott and Broome Streets, the GPP team tried a new restaurant called Oriana, a swank new spot that thrives on embracing the light-the-grill spirit of summer via wood-fired cooking across its menu. Oriana is a grand rendition from the team of Andy Quinn and Cedric Nisez, 211 Madison Park alumni, who opened the beloved Nortwick in the West Village. The spacious restaurant boasts a 60-seat mahogany dining room, 20-seat bar area, and a private dining space doubling as a hi-fi listening lounge downstairs amongst a 1,700-bottle wine cellar labyrinth. Flames touch almost every dish on Oriana's menu. The grilled bread, with yogurt chive butter, hanger steak, and a variety of grilled veggies were splendid, but the star of the show was a whole barbecue duck. The team ages the duck crown for 14 days, slices and serves it, then uses the rest of the bird to craft a duck neck and foie gras sausage, which sets up a multi-course tasting from one dish. Fire and smoke flavors permeate everything beautifully. A great new addition to downtown Manhattan. Meanwhile, up on 16th Street, we had the pleasure of sampling the Levantine delicacies at Café Zafri in Union Square, along with some friends of the firm. Chic beyond belief, Café Zafri is an impressive choice for a birthday or any other celebration. Favorites included the toasted sesame eggplant and fattoush salad, in addition to the whole dorade. No NYC birthday celebration is complete without a celebrity spotting, and we sat next to the first Spider-Man himself, Tobey Maguire. No word on whether he tried the lamb Wellington, which we will indulge on next time we visit. Cheers! Lastly, in open tabs, The Wall Street Journal, the Spanish joker who lifted his country to the World Cup semifinals, and now the final versus Argentina. Esquire, the lost art of being a regular. The New York Times, welcome to West Village. The is not optional, say some New Yorkers. The New York Times, we're fighting Satan. The war to save bees from a hornet invasion. A 16Z, banning AI in law school, we've seen this before. Have a great weekend, GPP team.